So we have been teaching through the Sermon on the Mount for about a year and a half. And I have to say, in writing this last sermon that I get to teach in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm a little saddened by it. Like, man. And I'm also just like so grateful for us being able to take a year and a half and walk through this sermon. What a life-giving experience this is to sit and listen to this, ingest it. And not every week are we just listening to it. We're responding to it. We're saying, what does this mean for me? And how do I walk out of here? And what kind of choice do I need to make now? Because that's what Jesus is doing through this Sermon on the Mount. He's giving us a new imagination. And in this final section, we're actually calling this series Choices. Because life is a series of choices or decisions. Do we choose this or do we choose this? And in this section, that's what Jesus is doing. He's teaching in this way. And as Brian mentioned, in Jesus' time, most Jews would have known this two-way tradition of teaching, this idea that there's two ways, two choices of life that you can live. One leads to the light of life, the other one leads to death and destruction. So Jesus is drawing on this tradition. He's finishing the Sermon on the Mount with this idea between two different choices, two different ways of life. Do you want this way? Or do you want this way? So he spent all this time teaching this incredible sermon, and now he's getting ready to walk out of there and actually show people how to live it. Not just tell them, now he's getting ready to live it. And then he clearly lays out this final call to action. Last week, Brian dove into these words of Jesus. It says, go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road is wide. So many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road is difficult. So few people find it. So Jesus confronts us with this narrow gate, this wide gateway to live. Today I'm going to pick up Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It's a long one. Hang with me on it. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they're vicious wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit. Every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. So this is the unique part that we're going to unpack today. And Jesus continues, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? And then I will tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people of wrongdoing. So, as Brian clarified for us in the beginning of this series, Jesus isn't pronouncing a judgment. He's actually describing a choice. He's encouraging discernment here. See what choice is in front of you so you know which way to choose. He says this over and over again. Jesus isn't talking about our final state of being. He's calling us into life now and forever. The good life we can have now and forever. That's what this whole sermon's about. Jesus is trying to reimagine for everybody. Look, this is what the kingdom looks like in this whole sermon. But if we're unwilling to commit to the way of new life, then we don't get to experience it either, right? That just seems like common sense. If we want this, we have to choose it. If we don't choose it, we can't experience it. It just doesn't work that way. We have to choose it. That's why his good news last week, I'm bringing it back because it's really good news that I want you to remember what he said. In Christ, God has already chosen life for us all. It's already made available. But he lovingly lets us choose when and how much we experience the new life he gives. Isn't that beautiful? It's already made for us. All we have to do is choose it. Why would we miss out on going down the wide? Why would we miss out by going down the wide road when the road less traveled leads to more and better life now and later? Why would we do that? I think sometimes because the narrow road is hard at times. It's a little countercultural. It's difficult. to be able to push back against culture and surrender to the way of Jesus. It's why we have to learn from him how to love like him, so then we can live like him. And here's the good news I get to proclaim today. Choosing life over death requires discerning between true and false influences. Seeing the good or bad fruit they produce, get this, empowers us now to choose the influence we want to follow. To choose the influence we want to follow. And you might think, well, I'm not going to choose bad influences. Like I'm going to choose to follow a bunch of bad things that are going on. It is called the wide road for a reason. Most people choose it. That is the idea behind it. And for centuries, we have seen people following bad influences time and time again. You go back to ancient times, and a ritual that would take place is they would sacrifice their firstborn. Take the firstborn. Yay! Sacrifice it. Dead. You hear that? You're like, what? That wasn't just like one person doing that. That was the whole cultural norm. Sacrificing their firstborn. Maybe some you're more familiar with. The Nazis in Germany. Nazis and their allies. Yes. A lot of people followed in the killing of millions. Millions of Jewish people. Why? That sounds so crazy. Was that just one person? No, it was became a cultural norm among those people. In our own country, think of pre-Civil War slavery. We owned and sold people because of the color of their skin. Like, people who had black skin did not have the same rights as somebody who had white skin. That sounds so wrong. It was. It is. Yet, cultural norm. Just seemed like that was okay. All these things seem so terrible, right? So obvious that these are bad things. They seem so obvious, but they were so widely accepted. And not only that, these three specific things that I named were actually tied back to like religion. They felt like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. These are my religious rights that I'm exercising. So I think if we look back in history and we say, oh my gosh, if those people could get that wrong and be led by bad influences, I think all of us in here have the capability of being following bad influences. Why Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to give you something to help discern between these influences so that you can know what choice you're making. And I say this because we're always being discipled by either good or bad influences. This is happening every day, all the time. We're being discipled at about every moment throughout our day. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to help you discern because you're probably making a choice. You may not even know it. I'm going to help you discern so you know what choice you're making. So you actually know. Like Brian said last week, if you're not choosing the narrow road, you're choosing the wide road. This isn't just put your head in the sand. I can't put my head in the sand. You can't put your head in the sand. Sometimes we want to, right? Let's just put our head in the sand. Let's watch The Office from 9 to 10 o'clock and forget that everything exists. That's our head in the sand moment. We can't put our head in the sand because this matters. It's life or it's death. We get to experience the good things of God and his kingdom and what he dreamed up for us, or it's destruction. Or we fall to the tricks. That's why Jesus says, watch out. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. Here's what a false prophet is. Anyone with influence that's moving people down the wrong road. It can be religious. They don't have to be religious. It's saying, I have influence, I'm influencing people, and I'm leading them this direction. False prophet. And boy, are there a lot of false prophets. There are a lot of promises that are made to us that just don't seem to deliver, and we buy them so frequently. They're selling us a bag of lies. That's what a false prophet is. That's what Jesus is saying. Listen, watch out. This sounds good, but here's where it's actually leading you. Now again, this isn't about judgment. It's about discernment. This isn't you being able to start naming a bunch of false prophets and calling them out on what they're doing. This is about you being able to discern the choices you're making, not being able to call them out on the choices they're making. This is about discernment. And the way we discern the influences by the fruit that we see. That's how we know. Not by what they're saying, not by what the culture norm is, not by everybody else is doing it, not by, well, this is what I feel inside. Here's how we discern. Jesus says, this is how you discern, by the fruit that we see. You'll know them by the fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get the figs from thistles? Jesus is saying, look at the fruit. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's saying, this is where this tree is leading. There's a distinction between false and true prophets. We'll know the difference by the fruit that they're producing and by what they're actually encouraging other people to produce in their lives. And the challenge with this is the false prophets talk about cultural norms, and it seems so like that is the easy way to go. So we have to know they're deceivers. That's what Jesus said. It's going to look this way, but it's probably this way. So we have to examine the fruit. Choosing life over death requires us to discern between true and false influences. Seeing the good or the bad fruit that they produce empowers us then to choose the influence that we want to follow. So that way, if you end up over here on a bad road, you're going, well, I did that because that's the choice I chose. That's the influence I was following. If you're over here on the good road, that's what I was actually choosing. And to understand this fruit, we're going to turn to Paul. And by the way, he always employs this two-way tradition. So this is how he teaches these out. And this is found in Galatians 5, 19 through 26. The first half of this describes the bad fruit. The second half, we'll look at the good fruit. So here's the bad fruit. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious, since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kind of things won't inherit God's kingdom. This fruit is contrary to how God's economy works. It's contrary to the kingdom. It's incompatible with who God is. It's incompatible with his character. And when it says all things will be gone, these things will fade away to nothing. They produce nothing good in your life. And as we read these, they kind of sound normal. Like, oh, I know where those are showing up. Might even say, I know where some of those are showing up. Like, they seem like normal things in our lives. But listen, this is opposite of the character of Jesus. It's opposite. So we could probably spend at least all day today and the rest of this week just on the bad news. Let's name where all these kind of things are showing up in our culture. Let's talk about this. We're not going to spend all day doing that, but I do want to talk about two of them. Just two examples, violence and consumerism. Man, it's the things that come to mind when I see the bad fruit and when I see our country and some of the challenges that we that operate in. Violence is out of control. I'm not talking about the emotion of anger that we've talked so many times about. That's something that's good. This emotion that's welling up inside of you, when you see injustices, when you things come along, that emotion is telling you something. Brene Brown says it's windows to our soul. I love that imagery. That's what an emotion is. It's a window to my soul. What's going on? What does that look like? Violence is the response to something that's going on inside of you. And violence is out of control. Now, I don't think too many people in our world today are on board with mass shootings or murder, but what I do see is I see so much hate expressed to people or people groups, Christians that in the name of Jesus promoting violence. Do you see what I said? In the name of Jesus. Sounds like good fruit, right? Promoting violence. Not good fruit. looks like it on the front side. When we look at the fruit, that is not something of Christ. Promoting retaliation, rebellion, and fighting, screaming at the top of their lungs about people, against people. And then I see people sharing those kind of things on social media saying, look how great this is. This is the next best thing to sliced bread. I don't know why that's a saying. Bread's pretty good, I guess. But. Now you might say, Jeremiah, it sounds like you're judging. Are you judging? I am if I'm just up here calling everybody out on this. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to help discern between influences. Paul himself says to discern hate and fighting and obsession and losing your temper, competitive, opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry. He's saying, what kind of fruit is this producing? So I know what kind of choice I'm going to follow. And when we see the fruit, we have to decide then, do I follow it? Do I share it? Do I influence people in this way? I have to step back, ask what kind of fruit it is. Because just because the person that labeled it says it's good fruit, doesn't mean it's good fruit. What does Scripture have to say about the fruit? Here's the deal with social media and our instantaneous culture. You know what happens a lot of times? We see something, it strikes something in us, and we immediately respond back to it. Oh, man, you know what? That makes me mad too. And we just share that. We don't take a step back and say, hey, whoa, what kind of fruit is that? That's why Jesus says, watch out. Be careful. Be careful. They're not what they seem. This is not what it looks like. Jesus is saying, let me help you see so you can choose life. Consumerism is another one that's huge. It's out of control in our culture. It's mainly about what I want for me. It's about me or about my kids, and that's the driver. It's the most important thing. I'm not saying things aren't important. I'm not saying things, anybody that has things are bad. I'm not saying that stuff people do necessarily is bad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying our culture is about this myth that it's more and more and more, and that's going to lead to happiness and a full life, and that is not true. It's all about me. I need to get mine. Nobody else is going to get mine for me. I got to watch out. I'm watching out, Jesus, but I'm watching out for me. It's not what Jesus is saying. Did you know our economy doubles every 22 years? We might say, man, that's awesome. You know what that means? That means we have to keep spending and running this race that much faster to actually keep up with everything else going on. That's consumerism. That's what it looks like. Our norm is to worry about us and our own well-being. Consumerism looks at everything through the eyes of consumption. For me, consume, 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 consume. Me, 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 me. Every week when I take the trash, I am astonished what a family of five consumes. 7 days. And if I happen to wait 2 weeks to take it, I'm really astonished. Like, what is going on? And this messes me up. I get troubled about this for me and our family at times. I want to stay aware of how I'm being discipled in consumerism. So the choice that I can make about that is a choice that's following something that's going to produce good fruit. Paul says the fruit of selfish motives includes idolatry and selfishness and jealousy and all kinds of things that's going to encourage and promote this idea of consumerism in our life. A self-focused life does not produce fruit that's good. It leads to devastation. And it has natural built-in consequences. That's what it does. We believe this lie, it's not going to deliver on it. We could go on and on and on about bad fruit. Choosing life over death requires us to put our brains in motion, learn from Jesus, to discern between true and false influences. And seeing the good or bad fruit they produce empowers us to choose what we want to follow. Because whether we know it or not, we're following something. So we better step back and take good inventory of what it is that we're following, because it's leading down a road that's constantly producing something in your life. And it's either constantly producing bad or it's constantly producing good. Look at the fruit. Let's look at the good fruit. Enough of the bad, on to the good. But the fruit of the what? Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. Wow. The contrast between good and bad fruit. It's like we read the bad fruit and it's like, all kinds of anxiety wells up in us. We can name those things in our lives and other people's lives. The good fruit, it's just when you read them, it's just, it just makes it almost like it's easy to read that and to know that and to know that that is good. When we see this kind of fruit, this is worth following. It's cultivating character that aligns with God's love and his kingdom. These things will last forever. These things are producing life here, now, and then. True prophets influence people to enter into the kind of life that produces good fruit. False prophets, sometimes they're easily followed. I think sometimes because they're saying, we're speaking the hard truth that nobody else wants to say. And I think so many times we just want to choose to pay attention to what we actually want to hear. We choose to listen to the things that we actually validate us sometimes. Consumerism, violence, call-out culture, rather than more challenging ways to live, which is the way of love. The way of love is a hard road. It's a narrow road. It's hard to push back against the culture. It's hard to push back against the wide road and surrender to the way of love. And there's something we have to understand about this good fruit. The fruit comes from the root. Everybody say that with me. The fruit comes from the root. Jesus says a good tree can't produce bad fruit. A rotten tree can't produce good fruit. He also says in John, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. We can't produce this fruit on our own. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's when we lean into him, when we learn from him, and we surrender from him, and we love like him. All of a sudden, these fruits begin to be produced when we follow the good influence, the person who is the tree. He's the vine. We're the branches. And the reason to identify bad fruit isn't just so we don't do those bad things. This isn't about sin management. How can I produce less fruit? This isn't about how can I get my behavior under control. We identify bad fruit so we don't follow those influences. That's the reason. We choose not to be discipled by them. We're not just trying to not be bad. We're wanting the good fruit to show up in our lives. That's what we're wanting. Not just trying to avoid the bad. Jesus isn't naming bad fruit so we know what to stay away from. Just like, I can't do that. It's saying you're following that. If you see the fruit, because that's who you're following. He's inviting us into life in the kingdom. And he's showing us the way to live life. And one way is by saying, this bad fruit that's producing your life, don't follow that. It's not about the absence of bad fruit. But I think we think that a lot, right? Jesus says, you'll know my disciples by the absence of bad fruit in their lives. He doesn't. He says, you'll know they're my disciples by the way they love each other, by the good fruit in our life. That's the point. The point is Jesus is calling us into life, not calling us just to stay away from something. He's saying, this is the road to go down, not to just avoid this, but to lean into this. We're disciples, which means good fruit is what we produce when we learn from him how to love like him and live as he is us. We choose who's discipling us, whose influence we're inviting in and going to listen to in our lives. That's what we do. And I'm still learning to discern because there's nothing really that we come across. There's not much that's black and white. There's a lot of gray, it seems like, which I love, and I really love the gray. And you know why? Not just because it's one of my two favorite colors. But because I love it, it requires me to get my head engaged with something so that my heart can engage with something. It requires me to discern. It requires me to step back and to really be able to look at things and say, what is good? What is what is following the law of love or pushing back against it? And I'll be honest, when I read that list of bad fruit, I see that show up in my life. Not all the time, not every bit of it, but I see it at times. As a matter of fact, this past week, I see this fruit show up in a phone call with my wife. And I got a little frustrated with my wife. And I don't know if you guys ever have days where you're just kind of like out of sync. Where it's like, hey, we love each other. Boom. No, we don't. We're just kind of like, you know what I mean? You just kind of have one of those moments. And our day was kind of like that. And all of a sudden, we're on this call, and I got pretty frustrated. I wasn't overly angry, I don't think. But I wasn't patient. I wasn't kind. I wasn't long-suffering. Matter of fact, I didn't want to suffer at all. I just want her to think like I'm thinking. That's what I want. And I had to stop and ask myself, why is the fruit that I'm seeing right now in my life, this is post the call, not in the moment, why is the fruit that I'm seeing in my life bad fruit? What influence am I leaning into that justifies that kind of behavior? And I think a lot of times we're like, oh, it's just because we're human. Yes, but why specifically because we're human? Does that mean? Because Jesus teaches how to be human again, the way it's designed. And we're under this curse of like we continue to want our own thing. So we don't just get to write it off of nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. But that doesn't mean the bad fruit that shows up in my life isn't my responsibility and isn't that I didn't choose. I chose that fruit. So I identified in this conversation, especially this conversation was about our car and it was going to be an expensive fix. And that was frustrating to me that we're going to have this expensive bill. And so all of a sudden I realized I'm going back to the money aspect. I'm going back to what we have and what I hold tight to and what I don't want to let go of, especially on a car that I shouldn't be letting go of it. And then I also start thinking, you know, she said there was a little bit of issue. How long's this issue been going on? I bet she's been neglecting this issue. She hasn't. You just owning my stuff, okay? This is where my brain's going. And I'm like, well, if she's been owning this issue, and now I got to spend money on this instead of something else I was wanting to spend. And this is going to be really difficult for me, I mean us and our family. And I start tracking down this road. I get to the place where it's, if she helped cause this, she probably needs to feel more responsible, and therefore my attitude toward her is probably justifiable. It's not, by the way. But you can see how all of a sudden the cultural norms that seem to show up, how I was raised, and how I saw things that happened through my dad, all of a sudden, all that stuff begins to justify something in my life, and I begin to follow this, which is continuing to produce bad fruit and justify my behavior. So I have to step back. I had to say, that's not what I want to do. So I text her and said, hey, I'm sorry. I had to realize, here's the truth, I love that person more than anybody on the whole planet. She truly is the best person I know. I don't know any better person than my wife. And she didn't deserve to have that kind of attitude toward her, not even this much. But I did. So I had to write, hey, I'm sorry. I stopped by on the way to Farmington, gave her a hug, and told her those things. I love you. I'm sorry. I want to produce good fruit. And too many times I see this show up. But I'm glad that I see the fruit. Because the fruit that I see reminds me of the choice that I'm making. And if I want good fruit to produce in my life, I have to follow the good influences. Otherwise, bad fruit is going to continue to prop up in my life over and over and over again. I have to choose what influence I will follow. Something that seems normal in the culture and justifies my actions, or something over here that calls me to something different, which is life in the kingdom like it's always been designed. I get to choose. You get to choose. And choosing life over death requires us to discern between true and false influences. seeing the good or the bad fruit they produce. That's the key. That's what we look for, and we don't stop there. Bad fruit, bad person. We see the fruit, so it empowers us to choose. Is that what we want to follow? Because I'm responsible for my choices, my actions, the fruit that shows up in my life. Not to call others out. I get to see it so I know if I want to choose to follow that or share it or influence other people in that way. We get to choose. Yeah. So, it's a lot to chew on. Man, that's good stuff though, isn't it? So let's take a few moments and let's just process a little bit together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes before we leave. And just take a few breaths in and out. And first, I want you to identify one area that you can name some bad fruit showing up in your life. Maybe as I read that a while ago, you already had something that popped up in your mind. And go ahead and just name that to yourself. Like, this is the bad fruit I see in my life. And as you see and name that fruit, maybe just take a moment and try to identify what influence might be leading you in that way. Is there an influence that comes to mind? Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's the news. A particular influencer. Technology. Something that comes to mind that you might actually go, ooh, I might need to step back from that. I'm not good at stepping back to see the fruit. Just ponder that for a minute. The bad fruit in your life, what am I might be following that actually leads to that fruit? We continue to process in this moment of prayer. I want to read the fruits of the Spirit. And as I read those, maybe just take a moment to surrender to God in these moments and saying, that's what I want. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the self with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant. Or make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. Let's surrender to the law of love. Let's learn from Jesus how to discern between the good and the bad. And maybe this week, just ask yourself this question. How can you choose to follow these influences? Instead, how do I surrender to love? Notice the bad fruit when it shows up and name it. Surrender back to the good fruit. Surrender back to Jesus and his law of love so that the good fruit can be produced in your life. Father, thank you this morning for your incredible sermon. That is life-giving today just as it was 2,000 years ago. Help us begin to see the things that we need to see as we continue to navigate our culture, as we continue to lead and influence others. Help us to do that in a way that's producing good fruit in their lives as it does in ours. God, we love you. Trust you. And we thank you today. We ask this in your name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen.